Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Hit. That doesn't sound like much fun, especially when it comes to exercise, but it does stand for High Intensity Interval Training. Well, ACE certified personal trainer Lisa Ritchie talks about it in this week's Fit in a minute.
This method of training utilizes brief bouts of high-intensity exercise interspersed with lower-intensity recovery periods. It helps break plateaus, burns a ton of calories, and helps increase overall fitness. Working harder for shorter periods of time will burn the same amount of calories as working at a lower intensity for a longer period of time. Interval training is not for everyone, though. Beginning exercisers, those at risk for cardiovascular disease, and older adults who have lower fitness levels may find it too strenuous and risk injury. High-intensity exercise is impossible to maintain for long periods of time. By incorporating intervals into your workouts, you can get the short burst of intense training needed to boost your metabolism without incurring too much fatigue. The longer low-intensity rest periods help you recover and gather your strength for the next high-intensity period. You should alternate interval training days with rest or moderate workouts, so aim for intervals 2 to 3 times a week. I'm ACE certified personal trainer Lisa Ritchie, and that's your Fit in a Minute. Back to you, Ed.
Thanks, Lisa. And as always, Lisa will be back next week. How often do you Google? Do you Google things for information, or do you Google things for pure curiosity? You know what I mean. Do you ever Google yourself? Google your coworkers? Google your ex-boyfriend, your ex-girlfriend, your ex-wife, your ex-husband? We can be cyber-stalking people and not even really notice it. Or we could just be cyber-curious. Oh, I just wanted to know. My son actually had an exercise in one of his classes where they had to Google one of their parents' names. That was interesting. Why? Why do they want their kids checking up on their parents? Do the teachers want to know something? I don't know. But anyway, there are some things that, according to this story here, you should never, ever, 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 never, ever search on Google. And there's how many of them? 5 of them. Let's take a look at this. The first thing never to search for on Google, don't search for things that clue Google into your location. As Jay Stanley reported last year for the ACLU, one of the earliest instances in which the powerful privacy implications of having your search history recorded occurred in 2006, when AOL released a large set of searches that had been conducted on its sites. While the identity of the searcher was replaced with an arbitrary number so that all of the searches by an individual were still gathered around the same identifier, members of the media found that it wasn't difficult to identify searchers' hometowns, neighborhoods, age, sex, and other identifying details through their searches. The result was an electrifying sense of just how intimate and revealing the information one shares with a search engine can be. About a year ago, New York Times columnist David Linhart told NPR about how search terms differ geographically, with major differences between counties where life is easiest and counties where life is hardest. A high prevalence of searches on health problems like blood sugar and diabetes, searches on what might be called the dark side of religion, searches about selling Avon or getting social security checks, and searches about specific kind of guns occurs in areas where people are more likely to struggle with money or suffer health problems. Your searches give your search engine a view of how economic trends manifest themselves in your everyday life, something you may not want advertisers capitalizing upon. One thing I just thought of. You ever take a look at like a retail site and click on something, I don't know, be it a shirt or a jacket or a hat, and no matter where you go on the internet, all of a sudden, there's an ad for that thing following you. You know you wanted to buy me. And now you're 19 sites down the road, but come on back and buy me now. The next one, and these are things you should not be searching Google for, don't search for information on medical issues or drugs. How many people do that? They self-diagnose. All of a sudden, everybody's their own personal Dr. Oz. While Google says that it prohibits advertisers, quote, from remarketing based on sensitive information such as health information or religious beliefs, unquote, the company's privacy policy reserves the right to record your search results, associate them with your IP address or Google account, and then use that information to target ads on Google properties and across the web. Neil Ungerleiter recently reported that researchers have found looking up medical and drug information online is a major privacy risk. Tim Liebert, a doctoral student at the University of Pennsylvania's Annenberg School for Communication, found that more than 90% of the 80,000 health-related pages he looked at exposed user information to third parties. The pages he researched included commercial, nonprofit, educational, and government websites, and the finding is extremely unsettling given a Pew Research Center finding that 72% of internet users in the U.S. look up health-related information online. Even worse, Google collects information from 78% of the pages that Libert looked at, which gives advertisers an easy way to figure out that a user has specific health issues and to find out what those issues are. Visits to pages on HIV/AIDS, for instance, can be combined with a user's browsing history and lead to ads for HIV and AIDS treatments, which Ungerleiter notes effectively outs their HIV status. That's a really interesting. You know, everybody has a digital footprint. No matter what you search for is out there. And you know, the internet is free. It's this lovely file-sharing community because it's a world now based on love. Digital love. No, it's not, folks. Anything and everything you do on the internet is being tracked so someone can then try to sell you something based on that. It's not mass media anymore. It's a very specific, narrow-casted individual medium that is tracking everything you do within this new realm of trackability. And then you will get the ad for the shirt that I get every 4 minutes. You know you wanted to buy me, so come back and buy me now. Again, these are things you should never search for on Google, and we're scaring the heck out of you, obviously. Don't give your search engine hints about your insecurities. Advertising is notoriously formulated to create and capitalize upon viewers' insecurities, giving your search engine and all of the advertisers that leverage the information it collects on you easy access to the insecurities you already have just does the dirty work for them, making things easier for advertisers who want to capitalize on your insecurities to sell you products and services. Doesn't sound like a huge deal compared to what happens when you search for medical information, but it still has some unsettling effects that you should avoid if you can. Amanda Hess recently reported for Slate that a category of searches she's dubbed Google Am I Normal is a scintillating resource for advertisers. Hess explains, I've been tipping Google off to all the real ailments and imagined insecurities that I already have. And at a pace of about once an hour, every hour of the day, celebrity diet, pants are uncomfortable, migraine, difficulty speaking. before and after plastic surgery and worst cramps ever. Why? Each of those gives an easy in to advertisers who don't even have to show you an ad at first to get you to think about your insecurities and how their products may help you. The next one, don't search for anything suspicious, especially at work. A couple of years ago, a story on how a series of Google searches led to a visit by local authorities made the rounds. As Jared Newman reported for Time, searches by different members of a New York family for terms including backpack and pressure cooker bomb triggered a visit by local authorities when the suspicious Google searches were reported by an employer. Michelle Catalano, the matriarch of the family in question, later wrote, I had researched pressure cookers. My husband was looking for backpack, and maybe in another time these two things together would have seemed innocuous. But we are in these times now, obviously after the Boston Marathon bombings of a couple of years back. So all of a sudden they see it, and you know, but that's something when it's good that you're being watched. See, there's a very fine line here, and I don't be, I want my freedom. Leave me alone. But you know what? Here is the case that argues the other side of the point. If somebody is doing something nefarious, if somebody is searching for information to do something horrible, if they are being watched, they should be outed. And the last one, don't Google anything that enables Google to define your identity. If you're really serious about finding a way around Google's propensity for constructing a profile to define who you are and how much you're going to be worth to specific advertisers, then there's not much recourse but to avoid searching anything that could give Google or advertisers a clue about your identity. As Jeffrey Rosen reported for the New York Times a few years back, the privacy trends go beyond creepy ads. Quote, computers can link our digital profiles with our real identities so precisely that it will soon be hard to claim that the profiles are anonymous in any meaningful sense, unquote, according to Rosen. Makes you wonder about how everything that you put down on Facebook, things you love, things you hate, and things you tweet about, how that is being now funneled back to the Big Brother that's watching us and that is watching every move we make so we can be marketed in every way we need, because that digital footprint is also a psychological footprint. So think about that the next time you tweet, the next time you Facebook, the next time you Instagram, and the next time you go into those interesting parts of the internet to look at things maybe you shouldn't be looking at in the first place. Hey now, this is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.